Take your Bibles, if you would, turn to Romans chapter 5. Romans chapter 5. That was a great message this morning. If you missed that, you got to get the CD. It's powerful, very accurate, and applicable for sure. Romans chapter 5. So I'm going to tell you what we're going to do tonight. There's going to be a lot of verses read. I'm not necessarily going to turn to all of them, and probably we're going to get out of here before 7 o'clock. I don't know if that's legal and allowed, but it's probably going to happen. I just don't have that much to say. But we'll see how the night goes. I got a lot of verses to read. We may go through some of them, but there's just a lot of turning. But this is how we got to here. I was praying. I like to walk around here. Some of the times you guys come in, and I'm rude to you, not talking back. That's what I'm doing. I'm walking around praying. And we were going over this verse that we're going to look at, Romans chapter 5 and verse 8. I'm sure it's familiar to most of us. Over in the Kids Crusade, we had that verse. But God commendeth his love toward us, right? And that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. So I was just, God, I'm a sinner, right? We should do that. But I find myself, and I've been finding myself here recently, just dwelling on that, and it was like God was like, stop it. Yes, you're a sinner. I know that. And you know that. You've acknowledged that. But you're more than that now. You're victorious. You're not stuck in this doldrums rut of being a sinner. You've been given victory. You've been given power. And we're going to look at that tonight because we're victorious as Christians. And yet we don't live like it. How many of us live a life where we're just kind of floating by sometimes? And we're just drifting. God didn't save us for us to do that. God saved us to live, to have life, and life abundant. And so he convicted my heart. So I said, God, if you ever give me a message while I'm praying, I'll preach it. And that's what he did, so that's what you get. So I tell you all that because there's a lot of verses. We're just going to go through this very analytically and look at it and talk about it. And then we'll get to some application towards the end. So don't let me lose you, all right, in the abundance of the verses. But Romans chapter 5, fantastic passage. Romans chapter 5, we'll start in verse 6. The Bible says this, "For when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet peradventure for a good man some would even dare to die. But God commendeth his love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us." I love this passage because it doesn't make any mistake, and it doesn't allow us to make any mistake. It's not like any one of us here, not a pastor, not a preacher, not a Sunday school teacher, not a deacon, not an elder, not anybody. I've been going to this church since the day it was started. It doesn't matter. There's not a single one of us who can say, I'm good in the sight of the Lord. I deserve to be saved. Not a single one of us. I think we have a grip on that. I think we have a handle on that. I see the people that are here mature, right? But Paul's writing and he's saying, God didn't get something great when he got you. Make no mistake about it. When God got you, God got wickedness. And while we were yet sinners, God knew exactly what we were. We were filth, covered in scum, covered in yuck. And God came to us and cleaned us up. Can you look back in your life and say, yeah, there was a time without Christ, I was a mess. And he changed me. I got that testimony. Praise the Lord. And if you were saved at 5 years old and you never experienced that, hallelujah. Praise the Lord for that. That's the best testimony. That's what I want for my kids. I don't want them to know what I know. Experience what I've experienced. I don't want that for them. But they're still sinners. If you've ever met Jeremiah, hey, my nickname for him is the incarnation in the epitome of the superfluity of naughtiness. Go and see what that means. That's my little buddy. I love him to death. But God sees him, and he sees a sinner. He sees us, and he sees sinners. And so we are. So I want to talk today about knowing our place. Knowing our place, because he doesn't stop there. We're sinners, but we're so much more than that in Jesus Christ. So let's pray, and then we'll get into it today. Father, thank you for our time here today. I thank you for the people that are here, perhaps the people that are watching online. God, that you might help us in this time, in this day and age. God, we need Christian men and Christian women, boys and girls, to stand up for you, as we heard this morning, God. That we would speak out, that we would step out, that we would be faithful in the time of need. And God, that we would let you do what you do. But God, help us. Help us not to be stuck in the rut of our sin. Help us to be victorious Christians in this life. And we thank you for it. God, and you'll get all the glory in Jesus' name. Amen. So while we are sinners, the Bible has several things to say. We could turn to a couple. You guys know these verses already. I'm not going to tell you anything new. But Isaiah chapter 64, if you want to turn there, Isaiah chapter 64, that's in the Old Testament. Genesis, Exodus, Isaiah, right? Something like that. Isaiah 64 and verse 6, but while you're turning there, I'm going to read Romans 3:12, and I'm sure you know probably this and many more. The Bible says in Romans 3:12, they are all gone out of the way. They are all together become unprofitable. There is none that doeth good. No, not one. The Bible is very clear. No, not one. We use this in the Romans Road, perhaps, and we use this when talking to folks about salvation. If you think you're doing okay, you're not. I was working out at a church in Las Vegas, and one of the members of that church was hosting a karate tournament at the time, and it was in a casino, not in the casino part, but in the banqueting halls. And so we got to have church in one of the casinos, but we were out there handing out tracts in the karate tournament. Came across a girl, a young girl, probably 8, 9, 10 years old, but a champion fighter or whatever. And she was convinced, I have never done anything wrong. You've never lied? Nope, never lied. I'm thinking, you're a liar. We could take people to the Ten Commandments and hey, have you ever lied? And if you say no, you're lying. Sorry to be presumptuous. And we can continue to go through them, right? Have you ever stolen? Yeah, okay. All right, Jesus says if you look on a woman to lust after, you've already committed the act, right? If you hate a brother without cause, you've already murdered him. Man, we're not very good people when we compare ourselves to the righteousness and the holiness of God. We fall so far short than what we think we really are. I call it, we have blue-collar sins and white-collar sins, right? My white-collar sins, like pride. Everybody struggles with these. Pride, you know, a little bit of this, a little bit of that. I'm not into the yuck sins, the blue-collar sins. No, we're filthy before God. It's true. Isaiah 64, in verse 6, I had you turn there. The Bible says this, but we are all as an unclean thing, and all our righteousnesses are as filthy rags. Whatever we have to offer up to God, God says, what am I supposed to do with that? It's gross. Nice try, but it's inadequate. And we understand that for salvation, we are not able. We fall so far short. And that's what the law was there for, to show us our sin, to show us what we are before a holy and a righteous God. I think we have that. But if you're saying, and you're sitting in your seat, and you're saying, I've never received Christ as my Savior, I've never been forgiven of my sins, I don't know 100%, 100, not 99.9. I'm 99.9% certain that I'm on my way to heaven. That's not enough. That's not good enough. Why? Because the Bible tells us that we may know that we have eternal life. Not think, not hope, not, yeah, it's 50-50. But know that we have eternal life. And if you're sitting there today, I don't know if I'm on my way to heaven. Hey, just like JC last week at Kids Crusade, he trusted Christ. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord for that. And you can too. Three things. Admit you're a sinner. I call it the ABCs. I think Pastor Pirate does too. He probably stole it from me. Admit you're a sinner. It should be painfully obvious, according to the Word of God, that none of us are able to get to heaven on our own. Believe that Jesus Christ died on the cross for our sins. That's B. He died on the cross. He was buried. He rose again the third day. According to the scriptures, by faith, do you believe that? And then C, you have to call on him. I'm a sinner. Please forgive me of my sins. Take me to heaven when I die. That's not easy believism. That's the fact that he paid the price. He paid the penalty. It is finished. All we have to do is receive it to ourselves. Now, that's what we are. And we could get stuck there. And sometimes in our life, it's, God, all I am is wickedness before you. God, all I am is terrible. God, I have nothing to give. God, I have nothing to offer. But that's not how God sees us. So back in our verse, Romans chapter 5 and verse 8, but God commendeth his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, this is what we were, Christ died for us. So if we're going to know our place, we know that we're sinners, but then we also have to know that we're victorious. Now, 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 57, and you guys can turn to, how about Romans chapter 8? You guys can turn there. I got a lot of verses there. But while you're turning to Romans chapter 8, I'm going to read through 1 Corinthians chapter 15. I have to turn there, though. And the Bible says this, but thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Romans chapter 8, look at verse 37. And every single one of these, we could sit here and harp on and talk about these. Nay, Romans 8:37 says, nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. So yes, we were sinners. Yes, we were vile. And in many ways, we still are sinners, right? But God says you're more than that now. You're victorious in Jesus Christ. You're conquerors in Jesus Christ. Look at verse 32, same chapter, Romans chapter 8, verse 32. He that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? He gave us the greatest thing that he had possible, his son. I say this often, and I'll repeat myself often as I preach. Not a single one of them. Sometimes I have to question that, but not a single one of my kids. If somebody came in here and said, your son or your daughter dies, or everybody dies. Hey, sorry guys, I like you, but I'm selfish. That's my child. That's my son. Even Jeremiah. He's great. But that's exactly what God did for us. He took the greatest thing that he had, the second person of the Trinity, and he offered him up for us. And not only that, Isaiah tells us that while he was on that cross and he was bearing our iniquity and bearing our shame, God turned his back on him, right? We learn that. But then God was pleased. He was satisfied at the sacrifice of Jesus Christ for us. And because of that, because God's willing to give us the greatest thing that he possibly could, this verse. He that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him freely give us all things? Like what? John chapter 1 and verse 12. But as many as received him, Jesus Christ, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. We've been brought into the family of God. So as I was walking around this church and praying and confessing my sin and kind of just like whining, I guess, God said, no. Are you not a child of the King? Are you not a child of God? Children of God don't have any right to be walking around with heads down. The children of the King, the children of God need to be walking around with their heads up. Why? Because we have a position. We're nothing great in ourselves, but because our Father is the King, we don't have to be ashamed. We don't have to live our life defeated. And yet, I'm going to keep going back to this, so many of us do. We live this life a defeated, disgruntled, unhappy, Christian. Why? When we got saved, we got brought into the family of God, adopted. There's no getting out of that. Some of the kids that we have, we didn't choose them. They didn't choose us. Ever say that? I didn't ask to be born. I've said that to my parents. They didn't ask for me either. But when you adopt somebody, you know exactly what you're getting. And I choose you. Hey, that's amazing. That God would say, I choose you. What else? Romans chapter 8, you don't have to turn there if you're already there. That's great. Verse 17, the Bible says this. And if children, then heirs. Heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ. If so be, we suffer with him, that we may be also glorified together. So we're the children of God. We're the sons of God here. And we have an inheritance. Heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ. I'm going to leave my children. My wife and I are going to leave our children our fortune. It might be a stack of bills. Probably. Right? But God said, what Jesus gets, you get. Now, I don't get that. And I don't understand that. But we're joint heirs with Christ. That means when the inheritance is being passed out, we get to be there with him. We get to receive with him. What have we done? The kids made crowns today. Not crayons. Crowns today. And the lesson was, we're going to give it back. Right? Now, one of the kids said, no, I'm not giving it to him. I'm not. Yes, everything that we get from God, we're going to lay back at his feet because we understand, I didn't do this. You did this through me. You did this for me. And here's this crown. I present it back to you. What a day that would be. Right? So we're children of God. We're heirs of God. Acts chapter 1 and verse 8, you know this verse, it's familiar, but ye shall receive power after that. The Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses. We have received the power of God, the Holy Ghost living in us to indwell us and to empower us to serve God, to work for God, to be bold for God. He hasn't left us here powerless. He hasn't left us here on our own. Jesus says it's expedient that I go, because if I go, I'm going to send another, a comforter, right? Romans chapter 13 and verse 11, if you want to turn over there. Romans chapter 13 and verse 11, the Bible says this. And that knowing the time, that now it is high time to awake out of sleep. For now is our salvation nearer than when we believed. It's an interesting verse. It's not teaching a progressive salvation like, hey, you just keep adding those good works and maybe you'll fill up that chart and then you'll be good enough to go. That's not what it's talking about. It's talking about the fact that we're saved in really three parts. In the past, when we asked Jesus Christ to save us from our sins, we were saved from the penalty of sin. Right? Revelation chapter 1 and verse 18. Actually, I want to tell you this. Pastor said, let me repeat. So in the past, we were saved from the penalty of sin. Right? No more hell. No more. I don't have to worry about punishment. I don't have to worry about damnation for eternity. I don't have to worry about hellfire or any of that. My sins have been forgiven. Now, Pastor was at the funeral. Some of you went to that. And he was telling me about one of the songs, The Long Black Train, that was sung there or played there. I've never heard the song before, but he was telling me a little bit about what it was, The Long Black Train. Satan was the driver. You know what I got to think? If Satan's driving that long black train and he's coming to get people, I'm thinking, no. Because one day, Satan went to get on that train and start up that train. I'm going to go collect me some souls today. And he's like, where'd I put my keys? I know I have my keys, but they're missing. I'm going to go get me some souls today, but I can't start my train because I don't have my keys. Revelation chapter 1 and verse 8. I am he that liveth and was dead, and behold, I am alive forevermore, amen, and have the keys of hell and of death. Hey, that gives me great joy to know that Satan doesn't have his keys anymore. Satan doesn't have any power over death and hell. I can't even get my keys off. He doesn't have them. Why? Because when Jesus died, he said, no, those are mine. I'll take those back. Thank you. Amen. He has the power. And so we've been saved from the penalty of sin. Also, we've been saved from the power of sin. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 13. I love this verse. This verse helps me. Because this is where a lot of us struggle. Yep, I've been saved. I have my fire insurance, right? I've heard that. I like that. I've been saved from the fire. I'm never going to have to go to hell and burn, suffer, right? We like that. But that's where it stops. Now, Jesus, I need that fire insurance, but the life insurance, you know, I'm okay with doing some things. We're here on a Sunday night. Church is good. But I don't want to go too crazy. Right? We ever said that? I don't want to be one of those crazy religious people. Listen, this isn't religion. Religion is always us working ourselves to God. This is a relationship. A relationship is God came down to us. A relationship's I want to get to know you and you get to know me. Isn't that amazing that God wants to get to know us? In 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 13, it says, there hath no temptation taken you, but such as is common man. But God will not suffer you to be tempted above that which ye are able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape. He may be able to bear it. And here we are as Christians, and we're not living victorious. And we're going to talk about that here in just a little bit. We're not living victorious. We're just kind of wandering. We're just kind of drifting. We're just kind of failing, flopping through life. And here's what this verse says. We have power. Sin has no more power over us in this life. We have power over sin. We don't have to give in to sin. If we sin, we choose to sin. Right? And God says, I've made a door for you. You don't have to sin. You don't have to go through that trial. We understand that there are different kinds of trials and tribulations, right? Some of them that God puts there to grow us. Some of them we put there ourselves because we're so smart, right? By the way, that's a lot of times, most of our trials come because of us, right? Can we admit that? Okay, good. God said, but hey, I've given you a way out. I've given you a way to escape, but here's what we have to understand. I have to actually take the door. I have to see the way to escape, and I have to choose the way to escape, and I have to walk through that way to escape. And sometimes that's where we struggle. So we'll talk about that in a minute. So we're saved from the penalty of sin. We're saved now from the power of sin. And one day, gloriously, we'll be saved from the presence of sin. He's going to make a new heaven and a new earth. And all those old and former things, all that sin, it's going to be done away with. We're going to have glorified bodies. I'm not going to have to struggle with this old flesh anymore. Hey, I like that. Now, see, I told you we're going to get out of here early. Why do we still struggle with victory then? If we've already been given it, if we're already conquerors, if we've already been made victorious in Jesus Christ, and maybe you're sitting here, I'm not struggling with sin. I'm not wandering through life. Everything's good, and I can float on clouds through life. I'm happy. Maybe that's you. Hey, hallelujah, I got something for you at the end, right? But for the rest of us, common folk, and by the way, write a book. If you got everything figured out, just write a book so that we can all figure it out too. But for the rest of us, maybe we're struggling. Why? Because there are financial problems and there are times where we're just like, God, I've got this load and this burden of care, and I don't know what to do with it, and I'm failing. Have you ever cried out to him, God, if you don't do something, I'm just going to die? Or, God, I've done this. I think my family would be better off without me. I have insurance. He never answered that yet, right? Is this too close? Is this too personal? Because I'm going to tell you some things that happened to me, and then I'm going to tell you how God gave me the victory. And if it's a help to you, hooray. If it's not, okay. So there was a time several years ago where I was struggling with sin. I'm not going to go through what it was, but it was a sin that was enough that it would hurt my family. It had a grip on me. And I knew I wanted victory. And I knew I wanted out of that sin. I know in my mind, here's all the verses. We've read all the verses. And then there's more. There's lots more. Right? And I knew it up here. God, I'm supposed to have victory over this. God, I should be able to have victory over this. I want victory over this, but I'm not. I'm failing. And it's got a hold of me. And in some ways, I liked it, right? We have to learn to take the door. There's a way out. We don't always like that way out, but we have to see it, acknowledge it, and take it. And so here's what the Lord laid on my heart. You need to fast. Here's what the Bible says. In Matthew chapter 17, verse 21, you don't have to turn there. Howbeit this kind goeth not out, but by prayer and fasting. And he was talking about demons. His disciples were having, they weren't able to cast the demons out. And then Jesus came and, right, and the demon left. I'm like, what? Why can't we do that? Because sometimes you just have to get extra special close to God. Our normal Bible reading, we'll talk about that here in a minute too. Our normal church going, our normal devotion time, if that's even existent. Most of the time when we're struggling with sin, it's because we're not in our Bibles. We're not close to God. We're just going through the motions. We're practicing religion, not a relationship, right? We understand? Most of the time. This kind goeth not out, but by prayer and fasting. And sometimes we just need to separate ourselves. God, I want victory over this. I need victory over this. This is going to hurt me. This is going to hurt my family. And I don't want to go down that road. This is going to hurt my church. I need this. Prayer and fasting. My wife went away for a week. So I fasted for the week with all my kids alone. That was hard, but it was great. I'm going to tell you something, I'm going to give glory to God. Never struggled with it after that. Why? I don't know what it is. It's not a magic genie where we just say, well, God, I'm going to do step A, B, C, D, and E, and then everything's going to work out fine. No, it was me, I believe, saying, God, I want victory over this, and I'm just going to get as close to you as I can right now. Amen. And God gave the victory, and it wasn't me. And there was another time, when I first got saved, boy, did I struggle with sin. And I remember walking downtown Orlando, as we did every single week, either there or somewhere else. And we are under the influence, always, always, always under the influence of something, always. Couldn't do anything sober. And I just remember thinking, I'm saved, and I don't want to be doing this. God, you have to take the desire away from me because I can't do it. God, you have to take the desire away because I can't do it. I remember walking downtown Orlando, and it, bing, light bulb, right? You ever been there? God, this just isn't fun anymore. And I knew it was the Lord. We just need to get close to God and God, I need you to do this for me. We got to take that door. There was another time. Let me read this verse first. Romans chapter 12. You guys could turn there. Romans chapter 12. I'm telling on myself. I'm sorry. I don't know any of your stories or I'd tell on you. That'd be much more fun for me, by the way. Romans chapter 12, and look at verse 2. You're familiar with this passage. Great passage. Well, verse 1. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God, that ye may be transformed by the renewing of your mind. And there was a time that I was just in a rut, floating through life. Didn't care. Get this. I've always been an addict, and an addict is always an addict. It's what you're addicted to. You could be like the house of Stephanus and be addicted to the ministry. That's a good addiction. We have all kinds of addictions, though, right? Most of them are bad. I got addicted to a video game. 30-something years old, addicted to a video game. And I was spiraling. I did not care. I had no desires. I was playing the motions. I was going through the motions, playing a part, going to church, right? I was doing my thing. I smile when I go to church. I put a suit on because I always put a suit on when I go to church if I can, right? Because I just want to look my best in the house of God. But on the inside, you know, I was like that whited sepulcher. Cleaned up, looking good, smiling on the outside, but on the inside I was spiraling. Addicted to a dumb video game. Are you serious? But it had me. And God gave me another verse. We'll look at it in just a minute to wake me up. But here in Romans chapter 12, I said, I need to change my mind. I need to get my mind right. This has got a grip on me, and it's not okay. And I don't like where I am. I need to take a door. And here's what God gave me. How are you going to be transformed by the renewing of your mind? How am I going to do that? Read the Bible. So here's what God gave me. I've never done it before. He said, read it in a month. And I had people look at me and say, that's stupid. How could you possibly get anything out of the Bible if you read it in a month? Family members. Why would you do that? You're not getting anything. No. This is what God gave me. And I sat down, and I did it, and let me tell you something. The pure saturation of the Word of God, where you spend 3 hours a day in this book. Hey, it's been said, and it's true, this book will keep you from sin, or sin will keep you from this book. Which do you want more? Take the door. You want to get over your sin? You want to get out of the rut? You want to have victory in Jesus? We say that. We sing it, but we don't have it. Why? Get in this book. We've got to saturate ourselves. And I'm not bragging out, I read the Bible in a month. There's a lot of people that do that. I'm saying I was in such a terrible, terrible place that I needed an extra shot in the arm. Maybe you guys don't need that, but I did. And it saved my life, and it saved my marriage, and it saved my walk with God. Why? Because I just want to be the best Christian that I can for Him, and that was not it. And if you're struggling today, and you've got things that just are, it's stripped you of your power as a child of God. And you would say, I don't have victory. I don't even have joy in my Christian life. Then I would say this, we tell our kids, read your Bible, pray every day, pray. It doesn't change. It's not good for the elementary kids, and then it stops for us because we're smarter. We need it more. Even more. Why? Because we have real problems, real big problems. We have their problems on top of our problems. And it may be that you just need to say, God, I've been reading my 3 chapters a day. I'm going to read through the Bible in a year and check it off my checklist. It may be time where you say, God, and the preacher preached this, I'm going to just fill myself up and saturate myself with what you have. God, I'm gonna pray. I'm gonna fast. I'm gonna let go of my flesh and say no to my flesh. And okay, maybe you can't do that. Maybe you have dietary things. Here you go. Ready? Cold showers. No, I would never do that. Okay. Say no to the flesh to say yes to God. This verse, Luke chapter 22, if you want to turn there. This verse helped me, I think, more than any other verse here recently. In the last few years, I say recently. And God gave this to me while I was in my rut. Verse 31 of Luke chapter 22. And the Lord said, Simon, Simon, behold, Satan hath desired to have you, that he may sift you as wheat. But I have prayed for thee, that thy faith fail not. And when thou art converted, strengthen thy brethren. You know what I got out of that? By the way, did Peter's faith fail? Oh, yeah. Yeah, because in the Garden of Gethsemane there, he abandoned the Lord. And when, hey, you know him, you were with him. No, I didn't. No, I'm not. He denied him. I'm going to go fishing. He was in a dark place. I could imagine that Peter was in a dark place. He was discouraged. He had just denied his Lord, that he said, I would die for you. Bold. And he was ashamed. Ever been so ashamed you can't bother to lift your head up? Remember, we're the children of God. And God's saying we don't have to walk around with our head down. We make it right, we lift our heads up, and we continue on. When thou art converted. You know what that told me? I have a choice. I can either continue doing all of this, I can continue letting this have the victory over me, or I can step through that door and say, okay, God, I've been miserable enough. It's time to live a victorious life again. So where are you? You struggling? And they've said, preachers have said for eons, I suppose, you're either in a trial, coming out of a trial, or heading into a trial. And your trial is the worst one that you've ever faced. Why? Because that's how God purifies us. That's a message. And it's God wants to make us more like Christ, and he has to take us through the valley to show us where our faults are, to show us where our inadequacies are, our sin is. So if you are, know this. If you're a child of the God, and we talked about the ABCs of salvation, if you're not a child of the God, you just need to be saved today. But if you are, you have a testimony, you know 100% that you're on your way to heaven, you're victorious, you're a conqueror. We have no business leading a defeated life. And if you are, today may be the time where we say, okay, God, enough is enough. I've been doing this far too long. God, show me what I need to do. I'm going to get in this book. Don't read it. I don't care what you do. Read it in a year. Read it in a month. Whatever you need to do, whatever God lays on your heart, the next thing I do is read it in a week. That's impossible. No, it's not. That's my next step. Whatever God lays on your heart to do. And it might just be, God, I need to fast. I need to learn to say no to this flesh. And then there's probably, I talked about some of you, that, nope, everything is good, hunky-dory over here. Woohoo, life is great. Again, write a book. It'll be helpful to the rest of us, common folk. But in all seriousness, there are times where we've just come out of a trial. And God has humbled us. And God has shown us his glory and his majesty and showed us his power. That's the time for us to find somebody. You see their head starting to drift. You see their eyes starting to dim. Right? You see them starting to slip on the things of God. And Hebrews takes us through the warning passages. And it's not intentional. We don't mean to get away from God. It just happens sometimes. And we, if we've just come out of a trial, need to see those people and say, hey, let me help you. like God helped me. And that is how, as the body of Christ, one another. We help one another. We're a family. And so many times we do this, right? There's enough of that in the world. There's enough of that from our jobs, right? We don't need that here. We come alongside somebody and help them out. Father, thank you for our time today. God, thank you that we can just look at your word. A lot of verses today. God, just highlighting what we are in you. Not because of ourselves. God, we have nothing. Nothing to offer you. God, we are sinners. We have no hope. But God, you loved us. And you sent your son, Jesus Christ, to die on a cross for us. And God, with Christ, you made us so much more. Father, I thank you for it in Jesus' name.